Good morning, everyone. Thank you for dialing in, and welcome to First Ship Lease Trust First Quarter 2013 Results Conference Call. My name is Wai Lin, and I'm the Investor and Public Relations Manager of FSL Trust Management. I'm joined today by Mr. Philip Clausius, our President and CEO, and Mr. Cheong Chee Tham, our Chief Financial Officer. We have announced our results last evening, and the relevant materials are accessible from our website at www.fsltrust.com or from the SGX website. Philip and Chee Tham will begin today's session with a presentation of our results, and thereafter they will take your questions. Before we begin, let me remind everyone that today's discussion contains forward-looking statements based on the environment as we currently see it, and as such does include risks and uncertainties. With that, let me now hand it over to Chee Tham to start the presentation. Chee Tham, please.
Thanks, Wai Lin. Good morning. Let me start with the presentation. You would have in front of you some slides. I will begin with page 4 on the result summary for the first quarter 2013. As you can see, revenue fell by 11.6% to 23 million, and this is largely due to drop in revenue from the various performance, which I will describe later in slide 6. But the results from operating activities rose 24.6%. Just let me recap. In this quarter, we have all our 25 vessels all either on bareboat charter leases or they are deployed in time charters or in the pool. But in Q1 2012, there were, as you recall, we have a default by Belian Laju, and we only have 1 month rentals from those three chemical tankers, and we spent February and a large part of March 2012 repossessing the vessel. So the three chemical tankers were not contributing as much in the previous quarter. This quarter also, we have to recognize an impairment loss on financial asset, and this is in relation to our investment in the TOM shares. As you recall, in the last quarter of 2012, we finished the TOM restructuring, and we were given some shares in TOM, and according to the accounting standards, we recognized those investments at the time of the price of the shares. But as of 31st March, the shares actually fell by about 65%. So we have to recognize this impairment of about 5.3 million. So taking all this together, we first quarter, we made a loss of about 7.1 million compared to a smaller loss of 4.2 million in the previous quarter. Now, if we exclude this impairment on the TOM shares, the loss is actually about 1.8 million. Moving on to slide 5, some explanation. Operating expenses fell about 10% and due to lower depreciation charges for particularly some vessels, those are relating to TOM and Omni. As you recall, we also did a restructuring of the Omni vessels in early January. In the same quarter last year, in first quarter 2012, as we were taking back the three chemical tankers, we had some non-recurring vessel expenses of about 0.8 million. So these two reasons combined together contribute largely to the fall in operating expenses. And in terms of interest costs, finance expense fell by 22.3%. Firstly, the principal balance actually were lower because we already paid down 4 quarters of amortization. And also at the same time, there were some higher price interest rate swaps which expire at the end of Q1 2012, and they were replaced by cheaper swaps. So these two reasons leads to lower finance expenses. I mentioned before the loan balance has gone down. The net cash that we generate from our operating expenses is actually sufficient to meet our principal payments as well as our interest. So at the end of 31st March 2012, our balance sheet, the cash balance stood at $37 million. Slide 6 basically shows the breakdown of revenue. You will notice that the bareboat charter revenue and BBC revenue, the numbers here are different from the officially stated revenue numbers, because we are showing all the income or all the revenue earned from the vessels on a similar basis, on a bareboat charter equivalent basis. So breaking down the revenue from the long-term bareboat charters, revenue fell 18.3% to $17.3 million, and largely due to the BLT vessels and lower rentals from Tom and Omni, and then supplemented by the time charter. As you recall, we put the two vessels, the two product tankers, FSL Hamburg and FSL Singapore, on a three-year time charter with Petrobras. So that contributed about $1.2 million. And the three chemical tankers are now in the Nordic tanker pool and contributing about $1.4 million. So on a bareboat charter equivalent basis, Q1 revenue come up to close to $20 million compared to Q1 2012, about 20.7, so a drop of 4%. Moving on to slide 7, this is just a graphical representation of the cash flow. As you can see, cash generated from operations of $18.3 million is sufficient to pay our bank loan, amortization of $11 million, quarterly amortization of $11 million, and interest about $6 million. And including changes in working capital, we end up with a cash balance of about $37 million. I will now pass this discussion to Philip.
Yeah, thank you, Chitam. We are now on slide 8. It's important to remind everybody that all of our ships are earning money in the market. They are all deployed on various revenue-generating contracts. None of the ships are laid up and are in a situation where they don't earn revenue, as is still the case for other ships out in the market, particularly in the container sector. So just to recap our portfolio, starting with the vessels that have volatile exposure to the cycle. We have two large product tankers on restructured bareboat charters with TORM in Denmark. The agreement with TORM is one whereby we essentially or substantially receive market rates or rates that TORM generates in the market. We have a benchmark test here, making sure that TORM performs within market, and frankly, if they don't, then after two consecutive quarters of underperformance, we have the right to withdraw the vessels if we so choose. Then we have three chemical tankers in the so-called Nordic tanker stainless steel pool. Just to remind everybody, a pool is a revenue-sharing mechanism where ships of substantially the same technical specifications are grouped together and are marketed by one company, and then the revenue that is generated by that group of ships is distributed in accordance with a pool point system, whereby the finer technical specifications of the vessels get rated relative to the other ships in the pool. This Nordic tankers pool that we have entered into is less volatile than a pure spot exposure, for the simple reason that Nordic Tankers has approximately 60% contract coverage, meaning they have volume-based cargo contracts with chemical end users against which they deploy these ships. And then they, for the balance of about 40%, they solicit spot cargoes in the market, hence greater stability than pure spot exposure. So these five ships, the two TORM ships and the three chemical tankers, are the five ships that we have with significant exposure to the market cycle. That's been done deliberately as we feel relatively more optimistic about the recovery prospects of product and chemical tankers in the short term. Then we have two ships on time charter with the Brazilian state-owned oil company Petrobras. These were time charters we entered into in the middle of last year. They have a duration of 3 years. We did this because we wanted more cash flow certainty in the portfolio after we suffered the default by Berlian Largo Tanker and after the restructuring with TORM was underway. So we decided to fix these ships for a three-year period to Petrobras, and that contract has been performing very well so far. And then, of course, we have our other 18 vessels remaining on the various bareboat charters, you know, that we have had for a number of years, and that is really the underpinning the overall cash flow generation of the trust. Now, as far as the industry outlook is concerned, not much changed to what I've said. When we reviewed the last quarter, we are now on slide 9 here. There is still significant uncertainty over the demand picture for shipping, first and foremost because of the great economic weakness in the Eurozone. And we are also having a situation, as you well know, of political gridlock in the U.S. where the direction is also not quite clear. And we have some significant geopolitical troubles in the Middle East, specifically in Iran, but not only in Iran. So there is significant uncertainty out there, which is still dampening demand. Obviously, the emerging world, in particular Asia-Pacific, is to some extent bailing the global economy out, but even that cannot be fully compensated. I mean, the weakness in Europe cannot be fully compensated by what's happening in Asia Pacific. That has particular implications on the container sector, for example. So we have ways to go. Now, from the supply side, the picture is getting friendlier. We are really now at the tail end of a massive order book, which we are working through. We are seeing, obviously, some new orders, but relative to what we have experienced in the past, we believe the order book is far more manageable going forward, assuming that demand will pick up at some point, of course. So we have already seen, and I've alluded to this, that the product and chemical tanker sector are seeing improvements. We are seeing an improvement in day rates, and I would say that most shipping analysts, it's almost a consensus now that the fortunes for product and chemical tankers are actually looking up as we look into 2014 and beyond. Now, a lot of people are complaining, you know, that there is not enough bank debt available. We believe that that's a very positive sign, that liquidity has been withdrawn from the market, because it's that liquidity which has led to irresponsible ordering in the past, and as such we are very happy that the banks are much more restrained in providing financing for new investments. The financing that takes place in relation to new buildings is to a very large extent driven by the ECAs, the export credit agencies, which are supporting their national shipbuilding industries which again is not a positive because it's essentially market distortion again. But for as long as that remains somewhat restrained, we think it's manageable and should ultimately lead to a rebalancing of the market. What does it all mean for us? It means we have to keep watching our portfolio. There is still a lot of companies that are bleeding cash in this environment. And obviously that includes companies in our portfolio. We remain in a restructuring discussion with one of our lessees, which are ongoing. And obviously once these have reached a conclusion, we will make an announcement and inform you as to who it is and what we have finally agreed. Then one of our top priorities right now is, of course, to extend in some shape or form the relaxation of our loan covenants, which, as you know, expire at the end of June. And it's reasonable to assume that if the loan covenants were to revert to the original levels, that we would have a problem under these covenants. We do, however, believe that it's not in the interest of the lenders, nor, of course, in our interest to be faced with a technical default situation under these loan covenants, given that the cash flow that we generate from this business is still sufficient to service interest and principal payments in full. And I think it's worthwhile reminding everybody that throughout this crisis, we have met our debt service obligations in full, and we never had to restructure those obligations. And, we are now coming to the tail end of this crisis. At least we believe that's the case here. So we think it is in the interest of the banks to work with us towards a further extension of this relaxation of the loan covenants. And needless to say, once that is concluded, we will make an announcement and inform you about the exact terms that has been reached. Other than that, we are very focused on seeing this through as best as we can by maximizing the cash flow that the portfolio generates, and that is really where the focus of the management team is right now. With that said, we are happy to take questions.